Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today. We're in the middle of a series on stewardship. That could sound boring, but actually it's very practical. And we're talking today about escaping the world's ways of finding security and discovering God's way. It's going to be a great study. I'm glad you're with us. And this has been wonderful, hasn't it?
Amen.
It's so practical. It tells me that the scriptures are not just kind of theology abstract, but they're practical daily living. We're talking today about the way the world tries to find security and what God wants for us. And it's going to be a great study. We're happy you're here. We're always happy to hear from you. Here's a few emails we've just received, and we just want to share them with you. Sam, thanks for writing from Kenya. Sam says, I've been following Hope Sabbath School, and you've had a great impact on my life. Thank you so much. How I wish I could be there one day. Please pray for me to continue growing in the Lord. Thank you. Well, Sam, you know, if you can get a ticket here, we'll have you on the set. But we are going to meet someday in the kingdom, right?
Amen.
And we'll keep growing, keep learning more about the Word of God. So maybe you can start a Hope Sabbath School there in Kenya, and many other lives can be blessed. Here's a note from Florida. I won't mention the person's name, but this person sent a donation that's really blessed Hope Sabbath School. I just want to say thank you. You say, which one in Florida am I? And I just say thank you to all of you. She writes, you are blessing with a wonderful program, Hope Sabbath School. I enclose a little gift, and I promise to pray for the Hope Channel programs. Amen?
Amen.
It wasn't just a little gift. It was like the widow who was willing to give. God counts the heart. Thank you for your support. And if you'd like to help us, you can go to our website, click on donate. It makes a difference for this faith-based ministry to reach people around the world. Here's a note from Kevin in Australia. And Kevin writes and says, I have profound hearing loss. I'm unable to follow Sabbath school lessons at church, but I'm grateful for your amazing program because I can follow the discussion using my headphones and watching you on my iPad. I also appreciate the closed captioning.
Amen.
So, you know, it's not just for the crowded airport, but maybe people that have a hearing loss. And we're just so glad. I want to speak really clearly now. But Kevin, we're glad. You represent many of God's precious children who may have a hearing loss, and that closed captioning makes a difference. And, you know, I just wanted to say thank you because there was also a donor who said, I'd like to have closed captioning to bless so many more lives.
Amen.
So thank you for your commitment to Hope Sabbath School. New York, anyone from New York City? Anyone been to New York City? Okay, most of you have been there. Joan writes from Brooklyn, New York. I'm a member of the Bethel Church. She says, I've been watching Hope Sabbath School for the past 6 months, and there are not enough words to express the blessings I've been receiving. She says, I especially was blessed to see a person. Well, she's not here today, so I won't mention her name. But as a result of these studies, I am enjoying a new relationship with the Savior.
Amen.
That's why we do what we do, right? Keep up the good work, and God bless you all. One last note from Germaine in Cameroon. Germaine, thanks for writing to us. I am blessed by Hope Sabbath School. Reading the Bible has blessed my life so much. Oh, I love this next sentence. I hope you're listening because this is really why we do what we do. The Bible has helped me overcome sin, fear, and shame.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
It has taken me to a new level.
Yes.
Of teaching and preaching the Word of God.
Amen.
You see, it's not just about saving us.
That's right.
It's about others being saved too. But I just love that. Overcoming sin, fear, and shame.
Mm-hmm.
It also empowers my prayer life.
Amen.
God bless you and all of you viewers. Well, I want to tell you, your email gives us encouragement, doesn't it? Sometimes we think, this is just such a big job, and we're busy, we have other things. You're all volunteers. I have another job as president of Hope Channel. But there is nothing more important than sharing the life-giving word of God with others.
Amen.
So we're glad you're with us. We'd like to hear you sing. We're going to listen very carefully. It's our theme song for this series. Great song. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. 3,000-year-old inspired words. My wife wrote a new tune to help us sing it. Let's sing it together right now.
My whole heart, I will tell all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High.
You know, if you wake up during the night, you can sing that. Just sing it quietly in case someone else is in the room. But I love the words to that song. I want to tell of all your marvelous works. We're going to have opportunity for some testimonies today to talk about what God has done. And maybe he's spoken to us about some changes we need to make. And we'd also like to hear from you. You can send your testimony to us of how God is speaking to you, guiding your life through an interactive study of the Word of God. SS Hope, don't forget, sshope@hopetv.org. But right now, shall we pray? Supernatural blessing has been promised as the Holy Spirit guides us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to escape the world's ways of trying to find security and find your way. So lead us, each one, Hope Sabbath School members all around the world, lead us in our study of your word today, we pray, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, someone told me if you share the problem and the solution, don't spend 80% of the time on the problem. In fact, don't even spend 50% of the time on the problem. Mm. Just spend enough time on the problem so they know it's a problem. Well, we're going to look at two texts that talk about the world's way of trying to find security. And then we're going to look at God's way, okay? And we'll start in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And Ranella, would you read that for us? It's a parable of Jesus about a man using the world's ways to try to find security.
Sure. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. He also said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light."
That is a strange story. If you think that the master is God, it's not. He's a man of this world. And he says, if you'd been that sneaky or shrewd when you were working for me, we might have made some money. But what's happened to this steward? He's been wasteful, and the boss says to him,
"I'm done.
You're fired. You're out of a job." And so what does this wasteful, unfaithful steward do? This is worldly way, right?
Yes.
What does he do to try to provide security? He doesn't go and say, "I'm sorry I was wasteful. Please forgive me. I want to change," right? What does he do? Anybody who'd like to tell us? Stephanie, what does he do?
He makes friends with the debtors so that if after
he... How does he do that?
By cheating the person.
Yes, right.
For.
You're an accountant, right?
Yes.
Why does he say do it quickly?
Because he's getting ready to leave.
Why? Well, he's getting ready to leave. Why does he say do it quickly?
Change the price. Change what I own. Yeah.
It's not right. Yes. Mm-hmm. This is actually illegal activity, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. You owe 100 gallons, make it 80. 50. You know, make it 50. What? So it's totally dishonest, yeah. Which tells you that his boss is dishonest too. Because he says, well, if you could have been that dishonest working for me, we'd have made some money. And we might have, by the way of the world. What is he doing? What is the worldly way, Kyle, of trying to find security?
I think it's trying to work things out for ourselves. It's trying to maneuver so that I can have advantage over another guy.
And what's the advantage? That's a good point. What's the advantage, Eric, he has now when he's told these people to cheat and change their bill?
Well, you know, now that he's kind of on their good side, the debtors, they no longer have to pay the debt in full. So he might be able to go over to them and say, hey, I helped you out at that time. Help me out now.
And by the way, I also know that you were dishonest. And so...
Exactly.
You know, it never pays to be dishonest, right?
Right.
You have leverage. He has leverage
that's
now.
That's right.
He says, okay, I did this. Now you have to help me out.
Mm. Yeah, that's called blackmail, by the way. Okay? So one of the worldly ways is to be dishonest to get some kind of advantage, leverage, right?
Yes.
Yep, Jason?
And the master could appreciate him now because he showed he knows how to manipulate. And then the master says, oh, I can use this manipulation now for other things. So he's basically showing that he has these skills that are useful to obtain other possessions.
By the way, that's why it's important to realize this master is not God. You say, why does Jesus even tell the story? The answer is told later. The sons of this world are smarter than the children of light. At least they know they have to prepare for the future.
Yes.
How much more should we prepare for eternity?
Mm. Yes.
Right? So it's not be like them. It's like even they're smart enough to do something. But would you agree with me? That's the world's way.
Absolutely.
And if dishonesty and manipulation. Let's look at another story in Luke 12. We've read this story before, but we're just going to look, Laurel, at verses 18 and 19.
Mm-hmm.
But focusing on the world's way of trying to find security in life.
Okay. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, Luke 12, 18 and 19. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
What's the worldly way there, Austin?
The worldly way is to build up and store things for ourselves.
Yep, mm-hmm. like a little, I mean, squirrels do it for the winter. But he's like doing it for many years to come. He's like running around with all kinds of nuts, right? Not sharing the nuts with his fellow squirrels, right? So that's the world's either cheating to get a leverage or just being totally selfish. And taking it all to yourself. Yes,
and
Jason.
The purpose is doing that so he can eat, drink, and be merry, so that he can party and have fun for himself.
Before we talk about God's way rather than the foolish way of the world, let's discover from Proverbs why those strategies are so foolish. We've got several verses in Proverbs 11 and in Proverbs 23. Somebody have Proverbs 11? Travis?
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 11, verse 4. And verse 28. What do we learn there?
Proverbs 11, 4 and verse 28. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, mm-hmm. but righteousness delivers from death. Mm. And verse 28. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Mm.
Mm. Doesn't tell us why we'll fall, but we know the answer, and that is... Riches are?
Fleeting.
They're fleeting, right? They're temporary. We may learn that in the next verse. 23. Someone have Proverbs 23? Alex, verses 4 and 5.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. Chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven.
That's kind of an interesting picture. Like, well, there it goes. On what day, what you say that right after a stock crash, right? Or a housing crash, or you know, a flood and you don't have flood insurance. Mm-hmm. There it went, right? Mm-hmm. Riches, it uses the analogy of like an eagle, just there it goes. So don't find your security in maneuvering for advantage and storing up all of your stuff, because it can just be taken away. How then should we find security? Let's go and look at some Word of God, according to the Word, starting Colossians 3. Jason, if you'd read for verses 1 and 2, several verses, and then we'll talk about, once we find out the secret, how do we actually do that?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth.
So if you just had that one text, Michael, what would you say is God's way to have security?
Giving everything to God, looking heavenward.
Yep, give it all to God. And?
Set your mind on God.
Stay focused on. There's another text that says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and
finisher.
The finisher, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, that's God's way of security, because my security is not found in me or my stuff. My security is found in Him. Let's see how the next verse adds to that in Romans chapter 12. Stephanie, verses 1 and 2.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Now, does anybody remember the teaching in Scripture? What happens? How is the renewing of your mind? How does it occur?
By beholding.
Thank you. Can you finish that verse, Gladys? By beholding.
We are changed.
We are changed. That's right. Now, if we're looking at the wrong thing, we're changed into the wrong thing too, right? If we're looking at greedy, selfish people, we become more greedy and selfish. But we've already learned we need to fix our eyes on
Jesus.
Right. So as we behold Him,
we become
instead of being conformed to the world, we are
transformed.
You know what that word is in the Greek? Metamorpho. That's the verb.
Wow.
Which we get the English word.
Metamorphosis.
It's like a total change by keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. Let's go back to the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. We're talking about finding security not by the worldly ways, but by God's way. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. Austin, would you read that for us?
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
Mm-hmm. Now, this was a battle situation, actually, so this is not talking about money. This is life and death. And we don't have enough resources. Mm-hmm. So what do? Trust God, right?
Amen. Yeah.
Stay focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stay focused. That's right. Trust God, stay focused. And God tells them what to do. Do you know what He told them to do in this situation?
Put the choir out front.
That's right. I mean, it's a crazy thing. It says, stand still, see the deliverance of the Lord. Send the choir first. Now, I don't think the choir was so bad they all ran away. What was the choir singing?
Praise to God.
We're going to keep our eyes fixed on God. Isn't God amazing? He can do so much more than we can imagine.
Amen.
God's way is that we keep our eyes focused on Him.
Amen.
And we trust Him completely. Yes. A couple of hands raised, Andre and then Kyle.
I mean, in listening to that, I realized that therein lies great wealth, that we have a great resource in the wisdom that God is willing to bestow on us. So if we recognize that it's free to have access to that, then at all times we will seek that wisdom, and the response, that the word that we receive back, and when we're told what to do, that is profitable for us because it will guide us through. So I guess at the end of the day, we trust in things because we want to fight the battle utilizing the sword or the gun or whatever. But oftentimes, if we turn to God, to that great resource of wisdom, I think the Bible does say, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so we're always turning to things that man created rather than to the source that would actually. Yeah.
And is it not because when we turn to things, we can stay in control?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Instead of allowing God to be in control.
Amen.
Now, here's come to your point, and then the key question I'm going to ask you is, how do we keep our eyes focused on God? Mm-hmm. And we're going to look at some ways in our study today.
I just wanted to say that I love this story in 2 Chronicles 20, and it just reminds me that the moments when we are most tempted to lose our focus is when we're afraid. Mm-hmm. When we're afraid of, in this case, you know, they were afraid of being attacked. Mm-hmm. But maybe in our own situations, it can be when we're afraid of losing our job or not having enough money to provide for our families or whatever it might be. Fear often, if we react the wrong way, can cause us to lose our focus on God. But this verse reminds me that in those moments when we're afraid, when we can't see through the difficulty, that's when we most need to focus on Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Because he's our deliverer.
You know, one of the things Jesus says about you must become like a little child. Yeah. If a little child is afraid, she will run to the one who loves her.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. That's true.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He will too, you know, both genders. Yeah. They'll run to the one who loves them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to tell them. They're like already on their way. Yeah. That's how God wants us to live.
Amen.
Yes.
So what we're going to talk about now in our study is how we do that, how we keep focused on him. And we're going to talk about focusing on the word, on prayer, on seeking wisdom from God, and on allowing His Holy Spirit to guide us. These are very practical ways that we can keep our eyes focused on Him. So let's go to John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. Some say, oh, the Bible, everyone talks about the Bible. Why is the Bible so important? Mm-hmm. And Travis?
Could I just mention something in the previous verses?
You can before we go to John 5.
I just love how it was structured in Colossians and Romans and Chronicles was all instruction.
Yes.
It was set your mind on God, surrender to the will of God, stay focused. And in Psalm 23, there's a promise. He leads, he restores, he anoints, and I dwell with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was another text we could have read as, you know, so many things to discuss. But even back then, it was the same way. Yeah. You know, basically David saying, just like a sheep, I'm going to trust the shepherd.
Amen.
Wolf comes, do not try kung fu against the wolf. Run to the shepherd, right?
Right.
Shepherd has the staff and the,
amen.
And the rod, right? The rod was the bonk for the, or the sling like David had. Run to the shepherd. The shepherd will protect me.
Yes.
That's so crucial. Mm-hmm. John 5. 39, 40. Eric, would you have that? This is a reminder of why we should go to the Word of God. Because you said, I thought we're supposed to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Well, what does it say?
Okay, I will be reading John 5, 39 and 40 from the New International Version. It says, you study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life.
Mm-hmm. I thought I was supposed to keep my eyes on Jesus. Answer, that's why we need to
study the Bible.
Read the Bible, right? Now, certainly there are some parts of the Bible, maybe someone's watching who doesn't know much about the Holy Scriptures, there are some parts of the Bible that are much more intense in their focus on Jesus. We call those
the
Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Very intense. Do you know there are many Christian people who've never read those books?
Wow.
I meet them all the time. They know one verse here and one verse there. They've never read the books. Well, I thought we were supposed to keep our eyes where? So there are some books of the Bible, and that's why I tell a person, say, could I just read one of them? I'd say, read one of those. Why? Because we want to keep our eyes on Jesus. And then, of course, there's the rest of the New Testament, which is talking about Jesus and speaks a lot about his return in glory and how we should live. But even the Hebrew Scriptures, before the time of Jesus, that's what Jesus is talking about here. Yeah. He said, even the Hebrew Scriptures, they all do what? That's why. You point to me. So that's why we always, when we're reading, even in the beginning, through the scriptures, where's Jesus here? Now, he's not called Jesus because Jesus was his name when he became flesh and dwelt among us. But he's called the what? The Messiah, right? That means the anointed one, looking forward, or the Lamb that God will provide. Mm-hmm. So I read the scripture to learn and stay focused on Jesus. Mm-hmm. In fact, notice in John 20, verses 30 and 31, Gladys, personally, I have to say, I love the Bible, but I love the Gospel of John. Mm-hmm. It's just my favorite book. Mm-hmm. And John tells us in John 20, 30 and 31, why he wrote the book. Mm-hmm. And you know, it wasn't just so that you would have more information about Jesus. Mm-hmm. What does he say, Gladys?
Yes, I'll be reading from the King James Version, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Amen. Yeah, and that believing is not just a one-time thing. It's keeping my eyes fixed on him, yes, right? He's the Son of God, and by believing in him, trusting him, I can have life through his name. Yes. So that's one of the places I can keep my eyes focused on him. But there's an amazing Bible study Jesus gave after he was raised from the dead, walking to a little village called Emmaus. Mm-hmm. And Carla, I'm going to ask you to read a little bit of that narrative, if you would, in Luke 24. Luke's the only one that records it. I don't know why. Maybe the Holy Spirit said, don't forget this story, Luke, because it shows us why we need to devote ourselves to Scripture, because it's pointing to the one we need to focus our attention on. What happens? Verses 13 to 27.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened here in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Wouldn't you like to have been at that Bible study?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. He's going to go and say, see this? You can think of things like Abraham and Isaac on the mountain. The Lord will provide a sacrifice, you know. And then later, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, seeing it all the way through. So I would challenge you, and I challenge you joining us for Hope Sabbath School today, when you read the Bible, always look for Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on him. Amen. But, you know, there are a couple of other texts that tell us the value of the Bible. Did you know there's one psalm, it's the longest one, that is all about the Word of God? All about the Word of God. Ranella, there's two verses. Maybe you could read them both. 105 and 130. There are 176 verses in this scripture song. You know, the Psalms are all scripture songs. That's a long scripture song. All about the Word of God. And earlier on it says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, mm-hmm. verse 11. But what does it say in verse 105? Why is it important, if we want to keep our eyes on Jesus, that we devote ourselves to reading the Word of God?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Psalms 119, 105, and 130. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 130. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple.
Mm-hmm. Your word. I remember learning this when I was little. Any of you learned this text? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But if I know Jesus and I've read the Gospels, it's a light to my path. What does Jesus say? I am
the light of the world.
I'm the light of the world. See, this word, this light, is not like a light out there and Jesus is here. It is Jesus.
Amen.
Pointing to the Messiah. Yes, Travis.
And in John 3:19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. In the dark world that the things going on, we need this light.
Desperately do. And the entrance of His word gives light. Mm. In other words, it points me to
Jesus.
The Savior.
That's right.
Now, that's much clearer in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I know. But the whole scripture, Jesus said, it's all pointing to me. Mm. Now, I want you to look at one last text before we move on. We're devoting to the Word of God so that we can stay focused on Jesus. We're going to talk about prayer next. But one last verse of why it's so important in Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. Romans 8, 5 and 6. Alex, you have that for us.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Yeah. So the blessing that comes when we keep our eyes focused on Jesus is what?
Life
and
peace. Amen. Right.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what He wants for us. Life and peace. Well, Word of God. We're not going to go the world's way to try to find security. The way is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We know He's our Savior. We're going to do that through reading the Word. Mm-hmm. But we want to discover we also want to do that through prayer. So I want to take you to Mark 1:35. Andre, do you have Mark 1, verse 35?
Get it.
Well, you have a comment before we go.
Well, before we left this portion here, when Jesus was talking to the disciples and he was explaining, you know, he was asking the questions, that Bible study we talked about, they were anticipating him doing what they thought Barabbas was going to do as well, by overcome the Romans by the sword.
Right.
And but God's way seems to be counterintuitive to man's way. And the Bible says, you know, there's a way that seems right to us, but that way leads to destruction. And so when we trust God's word, it may be counterintuitive, but if we hold fast to it, it will pan out in the end, because he's saying there is another way.
Sure.
And in the Asian culture, they say something, they look for the third way. Mm-hmm. We oftentimes, we just see things, you know, okay, well, we can go this way or that way, but we ought to look for the third way, and God's word grants a different perspective.
Sure.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So God's word, we know it's important, not just, well, I read so many chapters, no, read so that I can keep folks. Mm-hmm. If you bog down somewhere and it's like, I'm not, then go somewhere where it's much clearer, you know, and just read some of that so I can keep my eyes fixed on Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, that's where my security's found.
Yes. Amen. Right way.
Amen.
Laurel, could you read now from Mark 1:35, because we're talking also about prayer as a way of keeping our eyes on Jesus. What example did Jesus set when it came to prayer?
I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, Mark 1:35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there.
I don't know of anyone who is busier than Jesus. Mm. You say, I'm busy. Mm. You know, I've told someone, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because you're going to do something foolish.
Yes.
Mm. Right? True. Back up. Sabbath can be a blessed time to do that, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that you can just pray Sabbath. You can make an awful mess during the week, right? Yes. Yes. So Jesus recognized the importance of that. I want you to notice what he says in the time of greatest trial in Luke 22, mm-hmm. verses 45 and 46. Luke 22. Eric, looks like you're close to that. Verses 45 and 46. He's in the garden, and Jesus is praying, because he knows that's going to help him stay focused on the Father. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's struggling because he says, Father, if it's possible, mm-hmm. what?
Take this cup.
He does not want to bear all the sin and shame of the world that's going to break his heart. Mm-hmm. If it's possible, nevertheless, Father, not your will. So he's keeping his eyes focused on God. And what counsel does he give to his followers there?
Luke 22, 45 and 46, I will be reading from the New International Version. And it says, when he rose from prayer and went back to his disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to say in that same context, could you not tarry
1 hour?
One hour? The reason he says, why he's sleeping, get up, it's not because he's upset with them, is because he knows what, Ranala?
That his end is coming soon.
Yeah, and if they don't pray, what's going to happen?
They will fall into temptation.
Right, because they've taken their focus. They're looking at their sorrow rather than staying focused on him. So prayer is important. How much prayer? Well, Jason, let's see what it says in Colossians chapter 4. How much do we pray? And someone else look up 1 Thessalonians 5. This sounds outrageous, but actually, God wants us to be praying. Well, let's see. Colossians 4, verse 2.
Colossians 4, verse 2. The New King James Version puts it like this. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving.
Mm. Continue. Is that continue? It's not like, make sure you take a few minutes. It's like, continue. In case you're wondering where that continue goes, someone read 1 Thessalonians 5. Yes, Gladys? Verse 17?
Yes, King James Version, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says, pray without ceasing.
Ah.
Amen. Amen.
So how is that possible? Let's be practical. You've got work to do. You've got study to do. Is it possible to pray without ceasing? Is that even possible, or is that just a hyperbole? You know what that is, an exaggeration for effect. In other words, pray a lot, Ranella, or do you think he really wants us to pray without ceasing?
I think if I had Kyle with me all throughout my day and we were running errands and going to school together, going to work or whatever it might be, I wouldn't just ignore him throughout the day, but I would be talking to him, you know, as to a friend or anyone that I was with. Just that constant connection. Mm-hmm. It's so easy to go throughout our lives and get so caught up, and then we stop and we're like, oh yeah, God, you're there, you know. But to continue to pull our hearts out towards him throughout the day in prayer.
But you have other things that you have to do, right? Can you pray without that's beautiful. Can you do it? He's not always with you, right?
No.
Or maybe he is. Has God given us the ability? I'll come to your point, Gladys, and then I'm asking this question. Has God given us the ability to multitask? In other words, can you do the work you need to do on your assignment and still keep your eyes focused on Jesus? Let's talk about that.
I don't think that it means that you're going to be in a room locking yourself up.
Kneeling all day.
I don't think that's what it means. I think what it means is the connection has to be open at all times.
Okay.
The word prayer doesn't literally mean just always kneeling down and saying specific words in a specific position. Rather, it's more about, again, the connection with Christ. And then you can have an attitude of prayer even while your body is doing other things.
Yeah, you know, we have that ability. Do you not, while you're driving to school, think about things you're going to have to do that day? Now, don't think about it too much, or you might hit something, right? But you can be cooking a meal and thinking about a conversation you're going to have later. Is that right? Do we have that ability?
Yes.
Of course we do. We can multitask. someone said to me one time, I don't think you can deliberately sin and pray at the same time. What do you think?
No.
You can't. You can't keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and deliberately sin at the same time. You have to go, just a minute. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Amen.
If you kept your eyes fixed on Jesus, you wouldn't do that. Yeah. You have to say, I just need to go look at the computer a minute. Could you go into another room? Unless you're saying, Lord, I just want you to read this email from this Hope Sabbath School member. She's been watching for a year, and she just gave her heart to Jesus.
Amen.
You don't have to say, you can't watch this, God. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. And he's, I like that connection, you know. There's this ongoing connection. That's what prayer is, the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Kyle?
Yeah, and I remember one of my favorite authors says that whenever you sincerely seek God, even the cry of a heart, you may not know what words to think or to pray, but as you seek Him in your heart, the Spirit of God goes forth to meet it. Mm-hmm. And so we know that you know, even if in your heart you may not know what to pray as you go throughout your day, just seek God, reach your heart out to Him, and He will meet you and
Beautiful.
Let you know that He's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Gladys.
But sometimes we don't know what to say. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know you, but I have had situations where just to whisper the way Jesus would just bring some relief to my heart.
Amen.
Like I'm so overwhelmed with everything that's going on, and I feel like nobody understands. And only thing that I can say is Jesus.
Amen.
That to me is the more powerful prayer, because it's just the what I receive is just that calmness and that peace that He promises.
And the forces of evil tremble when you say Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
But you know, when you, this text isn't in our outline, but when you said sometimes we don't know how to pray, we don't know what to say, right before that wonderful verse that God can work all things for good, is another verse, Stephanie, in Romans 8:26. We'll give a moment for people to find it. I know it's not in our outline. Maybe I should add it. But Romans 8:26, when we don't know, we're like, God, I'm crying out, Jesus, I'm looking to you. Maybe all we can say is Jesus. Mm.
Yes.
But Romans 8, verse 26. Stephanie, do you have that? What does it say?
All right. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Is that awesome?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Jesus, I don't even know what to pray. Yeah. And the Spirit says, this is what she needs, Jesus. Now, we're getting ahead of ourselves, because part of the focused on Jesus is His word, prayer. We're going to talk about seeking wisdom and asking for the Holy Spirit. So we're getting a little bit ahead. But even when I say, I know I want to pray without ceasing, I can do that. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing godly things, I can be praying all at the same time. I can multitask
Amen.
With that.
Amen.
But I can also seek wisdom from God. Let's go to a story in 1 Kings chapter 3. The wise man Solomon didn't always make wise decisions in his life. Mm-mm. But here in 1 Kings 3, when the Lord comes to him and says, tell me what you would like to ask from me, he has a remarkable request. Travis, would you like to start in verse 3? He started out well. What was his request?
Okay, here we go. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people too, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord. that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you rise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days.
Mm-hmm. So he asks for an understanding heart so mm-hmm. that he can make wise decisions. Mm-hmm. God says,
yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
In fact, I'm going to bless you in other ways because you asked for this wisdom. Now, we could spend time talking about him. Why did he make so many mistakes? 300 wives, 700 concubines. Wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. I've tried everything. It's all vanity. But then he comes back at the end. He says, you know, I figured it all out. Reverence God and keep his commands. So he finally comes back. Praise God. Why does he make so many mistakes, Austin?
I was just going to say, because he took his eyes off of off of God.
That's right. That's right. Wisdom comes when we keep our eyes on God, listen to his word, communicate with him, connect with him in prayer, and daily ask him for wisdom. If he'd asked, should I take a second wife or a 200th wife, he'd have got an answer on that. Should I build pagan temples? He would have got an answer to that. So we need to receive the wisdom. Now, I want to ask you some promises. This isn't just for Solomon, right? Are there some promises in the Bible that you know that say that if you focus on God, say, God, I need wisdom, that he's promised he'll give it to us. Anyone think of a text that comes to mind? Yes, Austin?
Yes.
Which one?
James chapter 1,
okay.
Verse 5.
Would you read that for
yes.
us? James chapter 1 and verse 5. Gladys, you were thinking of the same yes. one, all right? James 1 and verse 5. You want to read down through verse 8.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
So what are the important elements you learn here? We need to seek wisdom from God as we're staying focused on him. What do you learn from that text?
Ask in faith.
Okay, you need to ask in faith and
believe.
Not doubt.
What else did you notice there? It was one little three-letter word early on in the verse. Very important.
Let.
Ask.
Say, Derek, there's a lot of three-letter words there. It was the word all. Did you see the word all there? What does that tell you?
Everyone. God gives it to everyone.
This is not, I'm just going to give it to Andre or just going to give it to Laurel.
Right.
God wants to give wisdom for life Amen. To all of his children.
Amen.
Stay focused on me.
Amen.
Jesus. I don't know what to do. Jesus. Right? Call to me and I'll answer you. Show you great and mighty things. I'm not making this up, by the way. That's Jeremiah, right? 33, verse 3. Great and mighty things Amen. Which you do not know.
Amen.
So world's way would be, what? Review. World's way would be?
Trust yourself. Trust yourself.
Manipulation and
right?
Seat.
And
hold things
massing as much as
All
you can.
Me.
God's way is security we're talking about.
Yeah.
God's way is
focus.
Keep focused, and we can do that by
his word.
Keep listening to his word, especially as it focuses on Jesus and
prayer
and
asking
for wisdom. But one more. We've got to get to this last section because there is the greatest gift. In fact, there's one place where Jesus says it would be, it's good if I go away. You say, what? What?
Wow.
Good if you go away? Cannot be. But Jesus says, I'm going to send you another.
Cool.
And he uses the same word that's used in 1 John 2 of him, parakletos.
Mm.
It's called advocate in 1 John 2.
Mm-hmm.
But here it's called comforter. Mm. It's like one like me. But there's a difference because the Holy Spirit can be with you and with you and with you and with you wherever you're watching around the world. He can be with you. In fact, Jesus said he can be with you and in you. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk in this last section. If we're going to not trust in the world's ways for security, how important it is, in addition to the word and prayer and seeking wisdom, that we daily ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us in our lives. Somebody read John 14. Laurel, verses 15 through 18.
All right. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, and it'll be John 14, 15 through 18. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be with and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
Amen. Jesus said, I'll come to you. Even in the 21st century, he comes to us how?
By the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I love that New American Standard Bible translation. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's an accurate translation. It could be an imperative. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, that's true too. But it also says, if you love me,
you will.
You will. So we're talking about keeping our eyes on Jesus. Isn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Yes. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us. Let's talk about some ways he'll help us, Jason. Verse 26 of that same John 14. What's one of the ways he'll help us?
The New King James Version says, John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Sometimes when we're having a Bible study, say, oh, I remember that text too, right? The Holy Spirit helps us by bringing the Word. Now, I know this sounds obvious, but I'm going to say it. If he's going to bring it to our remembrance, Stephanie, what does it mean? That's right. At some point, you read the Word.
Yes.
You put it in. You say, my memory's not that great. Don't panic. Focus on the Word that helps you stay focused on God. Pray. Seek wisdom. Ask for the Holy Spirit. One of the ways he'll help you, he'll bring that to your remembrance. Amen. John 16, 13. Another way he'll help us. Anybody have John 16 and verse 13? Stephanie, you do.
Yes. The New King James Version says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come.
So the Holy Spirit is not only going to help us remember Scripture so we stay focused on Jesus. What else is he going to do according to the promise of Jesus?
Tell us things to come.
Guide us into all truth. Now, I thought about that, not all truth. I mean, there's a lot of truth out there, but all the truth that
we need.
That we need, that's right. I think if you gave it all, my brain would explode, right? But all the truth I need right now, he's going to reveal it to me.
Amen.
He's going to guide me. Amen. He's going to direct me. And he's going to tell me things to come. Could that be talking about prophecy? Sure. But could it be talking about challenges I'm going to face in the future too? It's all of the above, isn't it, Gladys?
Truth is a person. Truth is Jesus. So he will reveal him to us as we need.
I like that. God is into all truth then is guiding us to Jesus. That's what the Bible does. That's beautiful. So I'm going to be practical. We've just got 3 minutes left. What is the way that the Holy Spirit has led you? What is some change he's impressed you to make in your life recently? Not necessarily so you'll be saved. I think many of you are walking in Jesus, but because he wants you to stay focused on him. Anybody want to share a testimony? Okay, Ranella?
You know, as we've been studying this this whole time, it just keeps bringing back to me how much peace you can find when you trust.
Amen.
And I think the biggest thing God's been teaching me is trust and faith. Yeah. When we're not so focused on how we can control our lives and how everything's going to work out and what's going to happen here, and there's lots of worry. But when we stop and say, oh, yeah, I have promises, I have the Holy Spirit, Jesus is on my side, we we can have peace. And that's what God's been trying to teach me, is have faith, have trust in what I can do for you.
And that peace doesn't come by manipulating or amassing.
It's by letting go.
Letting go of control, giving control to Jesus.
Yes.
Gladys, what's the Holy Spirit been teaching
you?
How
well you can sleep when you really trust Him.
All right.
Mm. Sometimes we give a problem to Him and we just try to hold on to it. And then in the night we're wrestling. Mm. But if we really trust Him, we go to sleep.
Isn't there a text in the Psalms that He says He gives His beloved sleep?
Yes.
Yeah, because we rest in Him. One last lesson you've learned. Mm. Anybody? Yes, Aunt Alex.
I think of loving others. And, you know, when I think of how much Christ has loved me, the patience that He's had for me, and the Holy Spirit's really recently, I'd say over the last few months especially, impressed me to love others more and to make a special effort to reach out to others around me and give them the same love, try to give them the same love that Christ has given me.
Does that sound like a Jesus thing to do?
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
You know, rest, peace, sharing His love. You know, following Jesus is life-changing, isn't it?
Amen.
We don't find our security in manipulating, trying to make people indebted to us or amassing wealth. We find our security in God and God alone.
Amen.
Staying focused on Jesus, who's the author and
finisher
of our faith. And we found some practical ways. We read His Word, points us to Him. We pray, the Holy Spirit helps us. We seek wisdom from Him. And we ask the Holy Spirit, and He always points us to Jesus.
Yes.
Want to live that? Shall we do that? Shall we experience the peace that passes all understanding?
Yeah.
Let's pray that we can walk in what we've learned. Not the ways of the world, but in God's way. Father in heaven, thank You for this practical counsel. I know that there are many watching Hope Sabbath School today. They're saying, oh God, thank You for answering my prayer. This is simple truth that can change my heart. God, there's someone we know and love that needs to hear this too. So I pray You'd bless us to share with people where security is found, keeping our eyes focused on You. Thank You. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. Isn't the Bible amazing? You know, the Word, a light, and that light is Jesus, pointing us to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We've learned today how we can stay focused on Him. Now go out and do it and be a blessing to those around you.